Welcome to the show, Pam. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm just chilling. I wasn't expecting to be on live, but, you know.
Oh, it's cool.
Holler at my homie.
Huh?
But it's cool. I holler at my homie.
No doubt. You know how we go back to 2000 and beyond. Matter of fact.
Yeah, that was like 99 when we first came back to Erie.
Listen, if you remember, I remember your 17th birthday on 17th Street.
It had to be. It probably was because I came back to Erie. Probably was 19. Because I didn't come back to Erie. I was after I graduated.
Yeah. So did you? So you said you're not privy to the topic. So you obviously didn't watch the podcast, the TikTok with Risa.
No. I was just scrolling and I just saw, so I said, what's Podgy on here doing? But what's Risa Tisa? I keep seeing people comment, but no, I didn't watch the TikTok.
Well, I'm glad it's somebody who really don't know about it. I like you. Because listen, she did a series on TikTok and it lasted 400 minutes from what I heard. It's 40 episodes, and each episode is 10 minutes. So, I guess...
About what?
What is it called? Who the fuck did I marry, I believe?
Oh, okay. So, I was seeing, I've been seeing posts and things about that. But then, once people were talking about how long it was... And that it was so time consuming, and I was seeing different comments like it's a waste of time, and come on, just get to it. I tuned out.
So, you agree with me that, okay, first of all, I'm looking at the title. What is that title giving you? Can you see the title?
What's the title? I can't see. You showing it?
No. The title of her series. Who the fuck did I marry? I think that's the name.
Oh yeah. So who the fuck did I marry? So it just, it made me just think of, and I'm assuming that it was based on the blind connections of, being in the room, that show there. So that right there, that's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, that game, to me, you playing dangerous anyway when you start tapping into things like that.
I wouldn't
even want to think about that.
You're in dangerous territory because, first of all, you married someone, and now you're questioning who you married.
Yeah.
So, did you do the proper questions and interviews? Number one. Number two. does this guy really exist? Is this a planned out content creator strategy? Because she got 500,000 extra followers within a week's time.
Wow, that's crazy.
She took a trip to Paris, allegedly. But I mean, 500,000 subscribers, she probably got enough money. Get you a little passport, get over there to Gay Party.
So with it, did you follow it? So, I mean, even with them, so how long were they married? Were they married?
I didn't tap into it, but obviously if I'm going to do a podcast about it, I'm going to have to, circle back and really, I don't know if I can stomach the whole series. Maybe I watched the first one and the last one.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot.
Pam, I'm busy. Like, I need a... That's why I need a woman to come on that has,
really followed it.
Yeah, you followed it and give me your take on it.
Yeah, because I even, you know, people did kind of like a recap of it, but even with that, I was like, oh, it's too much to even go through and read all of it. You know, they tried to recap it, but I don't know. I guess some of the things that I've seen, I guess he was supposed to have a lot, or, you know, a lot of things that seemed like it was like he may have falsified, you know, or glammed himself up to have this and have that, but in the end,
Well, from what I heard, but she said he was very handsome, and I mean, beauty's in the eye of beholder. But then when I seen the dude that said she's lying, I said, "Oh, this is the dude she said was handsome." Oh, okay. I'm not to judge a nigga. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what people was clowning his attire. Like, you know, he got money, but he got, you know, Walmart shirt. I mean, I just seen a lot of different things. So like I said, without seeing it, and I guess maybe a few videos, I don't know, I can't even say if I dedicate the time to it, but it's crazy, a lot of things that people get themselves involved in for money, I'll put it like that, you know, with all of the shows, Bachelor, all those things going back, but it's still around and they've been going on for years.
So Pam, this is Lil Diddy.
Hi.
It's my daughter. She's my spitting image. So, of course, you know, she's going to be part of the podcast, too. Who the fuck am I podcasting with? Yeah. So, little Asia, this is my friend Pam. We go back to, you know, teenage years. You know what I mean?
Wow.
We work together. We pitched on the block. Like, I'm kidding. Nah, but she realizes they come. She realizes they come, and I'm glad she pulled up. Oh, he said, Cuzzo said, I can hear you all. Okay. Cuzzo said, I can hear you all. Shout out to OJ, my cuz. Not Simpson. Asia, did you get a chance to take part of some of these episodes?
The recent episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How many episodes did you watch?
All of them.
Okay.
You did right here, P.
Oh yeah. We already tapped in. See, what I want, you know, both of my daughters is going to be on the podcast. We're just going to make it, you know what I mean? We going to Paris, too. I mean,
I think Mandy watched it, too.
All three of my daughters. Yeah. Tap in. Monet's already tapped in. We talked about it. You know, I kind of, started it off and was asking her what she thought and what she seen. So,
she watched it?
Huh?
She watched it?
I believe she did. She told me, Dad, you're going to have to tap in and check it out if you're going to pod about it. So I'm like, all right. Y'all can hold me to that. I'm going to tap in. Not all 40. But,
you know, it was just playing like a podcast.
Huh?
I said it was just playing like the podcast.
Okay.
The only thing,
if you watch the episode of Joe Buttons, he goes 3 hours. Yeah, I mean, so okay.
So with the videos then that she was posting, so they were just like her telling the story from her side?
Yeah.
From her side, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need a man and a female together. Like, it probably wouldn't hit the same if they came together and was like, who'd I marry? It was you.
But it was based on a show, is that correct? So it is... No, is it, no, there's no shows?
It's based on her life, allegedly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She married a man, and
came out with another video. And she said that the dude's brother reached out to her and, like, made her clear up some stuff. Like, the stuff she said in the story, I guess, was wrong. And the brother asked that she clear it up. But the brother was still haven't been shown or nothing. But she was just like, yeah, he reached out to me. She said, you know, I had some parts mixed up. But she cleared it up. And then that was, I don't know.
So she
was. She was owning that she missed the red flag?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yep. Okay. Okay.
She's like, I know ladies are going to say I found out.
But how long were they married?
6 months, I think.
Oh. Okay.
So, Pam, they met right at the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
They quarantined together within knowing each other for days.
Yes. She missed those all day
yeah,
long.
You. Red flags, magenta flags, yellow flags. Yeah. Penalty on the play. I mean, you missed all of that.
When she first even, they swiped each other on a dating app. Two different dating apps. On one, he had a different name.
Wait a minute.
That was the first one.
Like, but you know what? And I'll say this.
Huh?
So, that's a common thing. I mean, and I think sometimes women, we give people and give men the benefit of the doubt too many times. It's so easy. You know? Or have been guilty of it at one point in time, you know, because sometimes, especially when you get to know somebody, right? So a lot of times people aren't always upfront about everything straight from the door. So when the little lies come out, you might be like, oh, it's nothing, you know, or overlook it. And then before you know it, it's 6 months of accepting and overlooking things, like in her situation. And then you like, what in the world? But I mean, I think that's a common thing sometimes, and those are things that you learn with time, experience, and knowledge. Some people just really just don't put up with nonsense from the gate, but it's a common thing for people to forgive and kind of overlook things until you've been burned or you went through experiences in life to where you like, mm-mm. But that's a lot that they did real fast. And I don't even know the story, but just knowing how to look at things too, because we all have a past, right? So no one really wants to be judged by their past, but I think the judgment really comes into play and is bigger when you can't own your past and grow from it. When you can own it and grow from it, it makes things a little easier. And to me, when I say own it and grow from it, then it's easier to be open and more upfront with it, right? Everybody doesn't have to know everything, but there are some things that help to define our character. So it's okay to go ahead and put some things out there when you're getting to know somebody. How else do they know you? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But you also, but it can be a twofold thing too, right? Because you also don't want people judging the today you based upon what I told you about my past. So like I said, it's a balance. And to me, those things and conversations too also come with maturity.
Yeah. In the Risa Tisa story, he supposedly started bringing up her exes and stuff and using that again.
See, that to me, that could be like a form of like control, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think from a male's point of view, Pod?
I like to really from knowing not not so much about her and not knowing not so much about him. I'm from a male perspective, like, let me tell you what I do in the dating process. So everything is casual for the first month or so. You know what I'm saying? And the first date is not going to be no jumping off. You know what I'm saying? It's very casual. It might be casual for a few months. So whatever that a person needs to get out their system, any habit is developed. It takes 30 days to develop that habit. So I can get on social media and pretend to be a certain person, but I'm going to show the true who I am within 30 to 60 days. So we need to approach dating as what it really is. Like, it's dating. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not fin to, you know, have no pet names and none of that. Not, you know, 30 to 60 days. Like, we're just figuring out who each other is. And if you're dating somebody else during those 30 or 60 days, that's fine. I'm cool with that. Me and you is not married or, you know, or even thinking about marriage for this first 30 to 60 days. So I think as people, male or female, getting into it, understanding that it's a casual thing, dating, like, I'm trying to figure out who you are and what you like. So let's start there.
That's my generation, for some reason, like, glorifies being toxic. So, like, I always see people talk about, oh, if you don't love me in 2 days, like,
wow.
I believe it. That's what.
It's crazy.
And you don't even know what love is. If that's what you're talking about, you have no idea what love is. But they're getting it from the music. And they're believing what these artists are saying is what they're doing. And it's not so. Yeah. I mean, it's some ratchetness out there. It's some toxic, you know, blue face and all of that stuff.
No.
Like, you know,
man.
That's yeah. Crazy.
Ridiculous.
And that girl needs so much counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot, anyone that gets involved. But definitely, Krishan, you know, but anyone that gets involved with him, it's like, and then even as public as they are with things, I don't even see why are people still dealing with him? Why are new people coming up? But some people like that.
Yeah, they want to see, I believe it's just inclusion. That's one drug, and just wanting to be famous, you know. I wanted the following, you know, the whole social media following, you know, so you're following suit. And I think naturally a lot of women are naturally like to nurture. They like to naturally, you know, so you got a guy that's messed up, let me come in and try to fix him. That's what I feel happens a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yes. So we end up, you know, a lot of times we look at who we've been with and be like, man, I got a whole crazy lineup. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking for myself. I'm just I'm speaking for us guys in general. You know what I'm saying? So, or people in general.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not. I can't speak for women, but I can say on both sides, we end up looking like these familiar traits keep happening over and over again. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
So do we all have a type? Let me ask both of y'all. Do we have a type?
Mm. I'll speak for myself. Before I got married, I can't say that I had a type. I know things that I desired or I wanted in a man, but I can't say that I had a type or no. But there are some women that do. There are some people that is strictly, and if you don't fit into that, you know, into the category, they won't even look twice. But and sometimes I think people might miss their blessing sometimes by doing that. But to each his own.
Yeah, I don't think we got a type specifically like a type, but like when you say, oh, we keep running into the same characteristics and stuff like that, maybe that's just like our environment.
I can jack that, because if you spend a lot of time in the library, you're going to probably leave out with some open-minded intellectuals. If you spend a lot of time, like for our time, Pam, the 901 Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That, you know what you're getting. You go in there and you come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is. Street life.
Yeah.
So I will agree with that. You know, it's a lot based off of your environment. And, you know, sometimes it can backfire. You know, you might go to the church thinking you're going to come out with Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Or people tend to look for the total opposite, you know? So I think a lot of things, when it comes down to like type, dating, things of that, it stems from your upbringing. You know, I think those things play a big part, even though sometimes people can get past things and some people don't get past things from, you know, especially if there's things that were that were not the best, you know, or either there's things that you look for. So even with women and females dating, they say, you know, they say you tend to look for someone like your father, you know, or the things that you receive from a male. Or there's somewhere, okay, hey, it might be total opposite of their father, depending on, hey, how the relationship and those things work.
This is what I didn't like about my dad. So
exactly.
The guy that I'm going to have, he's going to have this character and that character that my dad did.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa. I don't know. You know, it might be the same for men as well. You know, if your mom was your queen, you know, and she did XYZ, are you seeing her treat your father or husband a certain type of way? Those may be things that you look for and desire in a woman.
Right. So, since I got my daughter here, let me ask you a little. So, when you first started dating or whatever, did you have your dad in mind? Like, my dad did this, so he needs to do this. Or did you just... whatever the environment was, you just dealt with and, you know, accordingly how you dated.
I think at first I just was going with the environment. Like, I don't know.
We outside.
I don't think I was dating like with, you know, my dad in mind at all.
So no influence? Your dad didn't have no influence on the people that you dated?
I mean, like in my mind, I know how I'm supposed to be treated, like just based off how you treated me and like, you know, just how I'm supposed to be treated. I know that, but
well, let me be
those things probably help you pick up those flags when it, you know, like added, you know.
Yeah.
My dad had to kind of school me.
Yeah.
He was around. But let me be transparent. I feel like your first dating experiences, I think the guys kind of look like your dad. That's why I was like, let me tap it a little. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of what I've seen from the beginning, but I understand us as youth when we outside and it's, you know, your first experience or whatever. I can recall, like, just as friends, you know what I'm saying? I was, when we moved down to Houston, I was in the eighth grade, so I was in a white neighborhood, but we had a couple black friends, and one of my friends, mom was like, I don't like him. But actually, he was cool as a fan, you know? And I don't know what the signals was that she was getting, but, you know, we're not friends to this day. I think, you know, he was, like, from Alabama, and I don't know if he moved back to Alabama, but I'm not, like, in touch with him now. But I was a good friend, you know, if it did. But, there was, you know, he came from a single mother background, and, you know, he had two little brothers, and he looked out for his little brothers, and, you know, so he was cool people. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what I didn't like about him, but, you know, of course I went against the grain. This is my dude.
But, you know, one thing, kind of taking it back to something that you had mentioned before about dating and, you know, your rules of dating, you know, as I talk to just my friends and, you know, just see people, like I have a coworker and he's really, you know, he goes on the app, but he's like the good guy. Like he's just a good guy, you know, but he always loses, right? So the thing with dating now, I don't think people really date anymore, or either they're trying to get back to it, I'll put it that way, you know, because with dating multiple people, that's how you get to know and that's how you get to sort through, right? But then there's also a myth that you could be looked at, especially as a female, if you're dating multiple people, then that's a flag on you from a male perspective. Or you could be judged, you know, because if you're dating, I mean, what are you doing while you're dating them? But as you mentioned, if everyone has dating in mind, it with the things of just doing casual things, we just having fun, just trying to get to know each other, no intimacy, no things of that nature, then I think relationships would grow more and people really get to know each other. A lot of times it's okay, we start kicking it, we didn't date it, we went on one date, two dates, now bam, date three, they always there, or you moving in, things happen too fast before you really get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's where it flops. But then, like you were saying, you know, a little with your generation, it's crazy because here in Georgia, and I don't know what it's like in Houston, but I got another coworker and she has girls that are in their early 20s. And poly is the thing now too.
Mm-hmm.
And this generation is doing that poly thing like it's nothing. But then wonder why you may have lost your man or things of that nature. But no, that's not the norm. And that's not how you really grow and have a real relationship and a loving, grow into a loving relationship. Yeah. So I know we took it kind of left off of the pizzeria, but
she was just like, she was just like a conversation starter. Like our whole, there's no way you can be intelligent and really talk about Tisa Risa for like more than 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? This is just like a topic to pull y'all in. But I mean, we can talk about, you know, can you turn holes in the housewives? I mean, it's, you know, talk about a lot of things. WTF, MI Podcast. Stay tuned. Y'all. Really go get heated up. I'm telling y'all, because you know, the pod father, we going to get this thing in crack in here. That poly stuff, I was at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo last night. Now, 50 Cent, he's known for, like, if you watch his shows, it's like a lot of unnecessary sex scenes. And, you know what I'm saying? His mouth is crazy. So, for him to come to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, which really is family-oriented, he didn't change who he is. He came as 50. You know, little strippers on the stage and this, that, and the other, but it's still remaining like a pretty wholesome event. And that's what you expect out of Houston. But when you come to the H, you know, most of the events, like my business partner, I don't know if he's still on here, but he brought his whole family, you know, his baby girl. He said, now, what's the song he came out to? P.I.M.P.
Mm-hmm.
He came out to that. His baby girl was bopping. She like 2, 3. She was bopping. You know what I'm saying? So, what is presented here is pretty much, you know, a wholesome family town. Now, when you go to Atlanta, family is out the window. You know what I'm saying? It's... I got a friend, rest his soul, I'm not going to say his name, from Erie. When I came to Atlanta, he said, Pete, come kick it with me. I go out on a different date every night for 30 days straight with a different woman. And I got, I don't know if he said 30 aliases, but he said he had a whole bunch of aliases. So that, now mind you, we never went out. You know what I mean? We talked and, you know, whatever, but when you telling me that's what you're on, like, nah, cool. Because I already know, like, what the pool was going to look like, you know? Like that song Kendrick was talking about, you know? Pool full of cess. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm cool on that. So, we have to make choices, you know, like, you know, spinning it back to the T-Series, you know. If she saw those first couple signals, she would have never got married.
Yeah. But the crazy part is that TV, reality TV, things of that nature, puts all this out there. And there's so many different cities that want to be Atlanta. The people want to live that life, you know, or just other cities as well, you know. That it's like, while it looks like that's the life, no, that's toxic. A lot of these things that we see, it's real toxic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey. What did you say?
Fake.
Yes. Yes. But do you, so you live in Houston as well?
Mm-hmm.
So do you, like, in your age bracket, do you know, I mean, is poly big there? Or not the people that you know?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. People I think, like, it's just been forced so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just everywhere.
I feel the same, and some people may, you know, of course, there'll be judgment, which there'll probably be judgment of a lot of things that were said on this podcast, but I feel like even the homosexuality thing, a lot of that, those things have been forced and are fads, but it just seemed like that's a fad that's just here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my opinion. You know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get biblical and, you know,
take, I mean, it's been around.
Yeah. you want to go back to King James and Julius Caesar and all of these type of things, like, you know, this ain't nothing new under the sun, you know.
But maybe, or maybe it's the openness that is the fad. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Or I see a lot of the flip-flop. So the females may go through a toxic, you know, relationship with a man, and then from that point on, boom, it's a different route. Or I don't know. But I think, like I said, I just look over the years and how the things just changed very fast. That's what made me think of it and look at it as that. But that's my opinion. It's always been around, but the way that it just took off. Well,
I'll tell you something that a stud told me in Atlanta. She said it's a challenge for her when females be like, oh no, I could never.
She may get
her purpose. That's the one I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, she get it.
I believe it.
and, you know, they kind of like prey on the fact that, you know, I'm a female, you're a female, so I can, you know, I can really kind of play with your mind more than a man can.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the pleasure points, like, I know more than a dude know.
Yeah.
So she almost had an advantage to take disadvantage of whoever she want to.
Wow.
And I've talked to females about it, and like, not me. Keep saying it, because you're absolutely the one that I'm gonna put on you. No, I'm kidding. I ain't gonna sick them. That's how it is. Yeah. And that's, you know, do y'all agree, like, a woman really understands a woman more than a man does?
Probably. Yeah.
I do. Because to me, to understand, and that it goes both ways, to understand opposite sex, it works. Work that has to be put into it, and a lot of times men don't want to put in that work. A lot of men think like they already know, and as long as they can get you in one way, they'll win, you know, or, you know, they cover this and this and that, then they'll win. But to really hone in on the emotional part, sometimes they don't want to put that work in to do that. So I do agree with that. When I first moved down here, probably about 2-3 years after I got here, I started working at T-Mobile. T-Mobile is about diversity and inclusion. Very big on it. Very big. And when I tell you I seen a lot and I learned a lot through my years of working at T-Mobile, and I was not naive before working there, especially to that world, and I learned a hell of a lot. So what you were saying and what you learned and what this told you, I seen it all, and it went down, and it was very true.
They got some powerful tongues. They spit. Yay. Speaking of Atlanta, you know, I was watching The Brat, I think earlier today. She's like one of my favorite female rappers. I believe she had the first female platinum album, if I'm correct. But how I felt once she got married, I felt different about The Brat.
You know, why?
I always knew she was, I knew she was gay, but maybe I just don't like Judy. Maybe that's what it is. I don't like her.
You know what I mean? Okay.
She seems more or less unenthused, and, you know, it seems, Yeah, that's what it is. I don't want the brat to get hurt. And it seemed like Judy is the one that will hurt her.
Mm-hmm. I saw Real today, and they was and the Real was bashing Judy like it was a female dressed up like the brat, had some lipstick on, and was holding a baby, and all Judy came over was doing was backing up her tail. I don't know if y'all seen that Real, but I was like, oh, they don't like Judy. But it was just, I didn't finish watching it because I was like, eh, it just kept scrolling. But I think that's where they was going, like, or either like maybe she caters to her.
The brat, she seems vulnerable to me. And I feel like, relationship, it shouldn't teeter totter to the point where, all right, if like let's shift over to Monique, right? So when she talk about daddy, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and
man.
She's like, since that day that we accidentally kissed, we were friends with our lips, you know, brushed against each other, and we haven't been apart since. But y'all in an open marriage, so y'all have been apart, you know, unless y'all just, you know, swinging at one spot. But I mean, if he's swinging, I'm sure he's doing whatever he's doing when he feel like doing it, you know. But for the media and for the public, she's in love with a guy that is 100, you know. But he was to leave her, she would fall apart. I can tell. I don't believe in that type of unbalanced love. And I don't believe that you can love a person 50 and they love you 50. You know, it's close, but it's not unbalanced where it's 80-20 or a 30-70, you know, or 55. You know,
yeah.
Something kind of balanced, but it's never going to equal. Because our brains are different. We're raised in different societies, and you know, and some may have come up in the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Still, your experience in your household was different from that person. So the definition of love isn't the same in all of our hearts or heads.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely don't believe in being unbalanced to the point where you do something to yourself because you're not with this person anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's showing that, you know, self-love ain't even there for you.
Mm-hmm. But, and even with, like, the daddy situation, like, that's just I don't know, that's just a mess. That's all I can say, just a mess. But it's just so sad because this was your friend for years, right? This was your best friend.
He was at her wedding.
Okay, yeah. So this was your best friend for years. Your best friend that's been there through everything, da 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 da. How can your best friend, who ends up being your husband, still support and come at your child the way that he does? That right there, no. That's not love. That's not somebody who really had your best interest at heart and completely pulled you up. Yes, and you did it, admit and own that during that point in time when you had him, that you weren't ready to be a mom. You know what I'm saying? You were trying to get your career, da-da-da-da-da, but you had these other children. But even still to this day, when everything came out, the way that he came at him and spoke, and oh, of course, he's not going to look at you as his son. He's been Uncle So-and-so all along. No, you right. Can't be Uncle So-and-so. Not saying that you love me. You accept me. I'm giving you children, but this is a part of me as well. And even where I may have fell short, that's where you as my partner, you helped to pick up. But it's no more uncle once we became one. And this is my son. Stepson, whatever you want to call him, that's your son. You know, but as a woman, for you to allow that shows your unstableness.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what you said, like, you know, if anything was to happen, if he was to leave, yeah, she's gonna be, man.
Yeah. when I moved to Atlanta, P, I moved to Atlanta October 31st, 2009. So, the Monique show actually started a few weeks before I got there. So it was already set up for me to work at the comedy club before I even moved. Like, matter of fact, they made me the offer in 05. I didn't really leave and come down there till 09, which was on me, because I, you know, could have been way more advanced. But I think God put you where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be there.
Absolutely.
So our DJ for the comedy club, his name is Aunt Love. He also was a DJ for the Monique show. So I had tickets, you know, and I was allowed to bring my camera and everything. Because, you know, you go to spots like, no. So I was connected through Aunt Love. Rodney Perry, her co-host, he hung out at the comedy club. He did, you know, sets. And, you know, he genuinely just loves comedy. So he would hang out and listen to the other comedians. So, matter of fact, he hired me at another club called Mingles. I did pictures exclusively just for Rodney. So, I was in touch with the whole staff, and I didn't know the setup when I got there. Like, I was introduced to her husband, but it didn't really register, like, this is her husband, and he's running this whole production. It was just me being there and just not really, you know, being tapped in. But what I did tap into when I met him, it was all gay vibes that I got from him. So, you know, your gaydar is up. I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, but for the most part, like, I done had people call me gay, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not quick to, you know, to make a judgment on a person. But when that vibe is, you know, I don't know, well, you know, in Erie, it just be rumors, you know what I mean? And people run with rumors. And, you know, to whoever, you know, got them started, you know, ask your mama, ask your auntie, ask your sister about P. But being involved, not really involved in the show, I was there several times, so I seen the flaws that why if y'all watched the show, it was on point, and she had a run for a couple years. But what they were doing, they were hiring friends and family that weren't qualified. So after a while, that kind of crumbles, because you have to adjust. You have to pivot. You have to make things right, you know. And what's popular last year may not be popular this year. You need people, technical people, that's making moves for you, because the way it was set up, okay, if you watch the guests that was on there, they were just people that were coming through Atlanta, either performing, entertaining, accepting awards, come through the show. All right, boom. Perfect fit. But if your staff is not professional and really have media experience, then, you know, things crumble. But I don't think so much her show crumbled. She got an opportunity to start getting on the big screen. So boom, here comes Precious. So when she accepted Precious, she accepted $50,000. But on the back end, you get on and you badmouth Lee, you badmouth Tyler and Oprah for blackballing you. And the main thing you're talking about is you were underpaid, and, you know, you got blackballed. So when you accepted that $50,000, you and your agent and your representative, Daddy, you know, y'all accepted the 50. So if and he asked them,
because I watched the whole interview, and in the same fashion as when I moved to Atlanta, I was watching Atlanta Housewives and all of this, because I want to see how authentic this is to how they really live. And of course it wasn't. But for her to have him in the middle of all of her deals, from Netflix, Precious, whatever happened, Daddy either signed for her or co-signed for her. And if you sign for $50,000, then that's what you get. And then he asked her to go to the Cannes Film Festival, which is the film festival worldwide. Now, if you go to the Cannes and represent this movie, it would be a blockbuster on a worldwide atmosphere. Not saying that it was up to her to make it big all over the world or not, but you complaining, oh no, I'm not going out there for free. A movie that you're involved in, which Samuel L. Jackson, he worth a couple $100 million. He in several movies, but I'm sure when he signs, or when Denzel signs to a movie, they're going to get what they're looking for. And they may even get a portion of the movie residuals for life. You know? So I feel like all of the stumbles that she took was pretty much her and Daddy making bad moves.
It's crazy. You know what I didn't like when she was on, what's the name, on Club Shay Shay? I didn't like how she kept trying to pull him in. To me, it's like you want to pull everybody in to fight for you. And I didn't like that. You know, you look into the camera. Right. And I want you to say, no, man, this is your battle. This is your battle. I mean, his job, he's interviewing you. But it's
you trying
not
to get me blackballed like you.
Yes. And I feel like, and that's how she, even when you listen to her and you listen to that interview, that's how she defined her true friends. Her true friends were the ones who spoke up for her. If you didn't speak up and roll with the fact that they were wrong, then you weren't a true friend to her. And I'm like, come on now, Monique. That's a little elementary to me. You know. But yeah. The daddy, it's like you said, and he got so much to say. He has to have his voice in everything.
Yeah, and speaking of his voice, let's go to the recorded conversation. You know what I'm saying? With Tyler.
Oh my God.
Tyler not knowing that you're being recorded, just go ahead and let him talk himself into a lawsuit. They kept cutting him off and cutting him off. Just let him talk.
He would go back. What did he say? He would go back, have, you know, whatever calculated.
Make it right.
Yes. But instead of pausing and saying, okay, y'all still, and then the way that she talked to that man on that call. I don't want to talk to Tyler right now. I want to talk to Madea.
Goodbye.
Yes, and he just laughed.
I'm done.
But you talk to that man so condescending and degrading that it was like,
How did he last that long talking to them?
I know.
I'm like, what? Madea? Let me give you a Madea hang up.
So when you saying talk yourself into a lawsuit, you speaking of when he said that he would go back and pay her? Is
exactly.
that what you... And but that's where the conversation, they could have just cut it right there.
Let's get into specifics. So Tyler, you're saying, you know how the snitches do.
We gotta get a clear understanding. So let me make sure I understand. So what you're saying is,
this,
get that verbal agreement.
So let's say, Tyler, I missed probably 5 movies, and you know, let's say $1 million a movie, you know, would you actually say that you would give me $5 million? You know, or, you know, they just kept cutting them off. And I'm like, well, y'all shut up.
Mm-hmm. But that's where, you know, when you want to be the boss.
And I made a post, and I try to not let people, because I've been like around a lot of famous people, so I try not to make it about me, but from my bird's eye view, me showing you the people I've been around, and that post, you know, it kind of just, I don't know if, sometimes Facebook be suppressing my algorithms, but it just sat there. I'm like, this conversation has been buzzing and trending. You got somebody who actually has been to her show and been around her, and nobody really cares to respond.
And what was your question? So I seen the one comment you were saying, like, you've been around famous people, stuff like that, and I didn't really see the comments, but it was a specific question about money.
Well, it was a while ago, mm-hmm. so I can't really.
Oh, okay, gotcha. You know,
it was over a month ago, so I'm old, Pam.
I can't even believe. Hi, I'm gonna tell you one thing. I can't believe it. I'm sitting here really just still on this podcast, busting it up.
See how it go, Pam? See how it go. That's how it goes when I post stuff. I think a lot of people really kind of are reluctant. Like, I don't want to say something, and then, you know, whoever, whatever might feel. And I'm not saying that you care about what anybody has to say, you know, but hop in, and, you know, you never know what it turned into. This might be the beginning of a 40 episode something or other. Well, I think she got tapped out again, huh? Little.
Yeah.
I think she got tapped out again. Yeah, but definitely. We got some stuff off today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let folks know. WTF am I podcasting with? I don't know what happened. We're gonna let Bam come back in, and then we'll close it out, because, you know, been here for a minute. See how Facebook be hating, Pam? We was cooking. Fam, I wanted you to come in and, you know, say good night to the people. We'll see if we can do that. But, your viewers. Man, this is wild. But like Jay said, you gotta know how to maneuver among the snakes. Crazy, because of all the posts that I, you know, put up, Pam be there. She supports. Matter of fact, yeah, Pam, hang on a minute, because I want you to close out. Pam, actually the first person who ever bought my book, Little.
Oh, wow.
This is like my best supporter. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Won't let
like me bigger back then. Ain't that crazy? Peace, see if you could send a request real quick. We're going to close the podcast out, but I want you to be, you know, here for the closing. Intro, outro. Let me see. I'm going to try to do it a couple more times. If not, allow viewers to request it. Join. Allow viewers to request. But yeah, we definitely got it cooking.
Yeah, I'm back in there.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to hold people up. I mean, I consider myself the content king. Like, you know, I want all the smoke with every podcaster. Not saying, you know, it's just a competitive thing. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm the content king out here. I need some of them bucks. Some of them bucks that they giving to Charlamagne. You heard?
I heard that.
Did you know anything about his podcast network?
Charlamagne?
Yeah. Charlamagne has a podcast network. It's called the Black Effect Network. And it actually includes a lot of podcasts that you probably heard of, but just didn't know they was part of his network.
Okay.
So he's just hilarious. Her thing is on there. Mm-hmm. So when people was like, oh, I don't like how they treating her, and da-da, she already tapped in with Charlamagne. Like, Charlamagne, he's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. He saw it's coming to an end at the Breakfast Club. So he's been, matter of fact, his network been going strong 3 years. They got an 8-figure deal with iHeart. It's 37 or 33 podcasts. I ain't gonna bother Little. She got church in the morning. You know what I mean? But those 37 podcasts, they all equal. They're all under the Black Effect Network. So they all actually count for one stream, if you understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's strength in numbers. So just
so every time she goes on, it counts towards his because it's under.
Just hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah. So
she streams on her net. If she streams, it's on his network, so it counts,
mm-hmm.
and he gets paid.
Yep. But yeah. I mean, they all get a check. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So my network, it has 3 podcasts on there.
Okay. You know?
And depending on how y'all want to do it. Independently, because I think Drink Champs is on his network.
Oh.
But okay. Nori gets a check from Mass Appeal, which is Nas. He gets a check from Jay-Z, Rock Nation or whatever. He gets a check from YouTube, of course, because he's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And his ex label president is actually the president of YouTube Music, Lior Cohen. Lior Cohen got him set up nice to get a lot of bread. But specifically, if you're on Black Effect Network, it doesn't mean that every time you pod, you know, it just everything goes to there, because they're streamed on several different places you can get them. So the idea is to remain independent, but still be able to have your streams counted as a group. You know what I'm saying? And so you get independent checks elsewhere, but that big check is, you know, everyone coming together and creating one stream or one download. So, yeah. You know, we'll talk more about that and get into podcasting and, you know, because if he got 37 podcasts, my goal is to get 50. So we can talk about sports. We can talk about religion. We can talk about finance. You know, and it is not necessarily me. It's whoever has the desire to do that. So I'm inviting other podcasters to start your own podcast. This thing keeps. I don't know what's going on, Pam. They don't want you on a stage or something. Keep showing that you sending that. Man, I'm chasing it around. Like, there it is. All right, P.
I'm back in. I think it kicked your daughter out too. She said, yeah, "What did I do?"
Let me see.
She said, "What did I do?" Laugh out loud. So I think it kicked her out too.
Oh, it kicked her out.
I don't know, but it seemed like it, because remember, you know, she just, if she didn't know that she did something, that's the same thing that happened to me, but
I wanted both of y'all to be in here. I did tell her that you are one of my biggest supporters.
Yeah, I try. You always been a good, hey, Podgy, from day one when I met you was always a good dude. Yeah. And yeah. Never changed up. You know, you always been respectful. You went coming out and, hey, doing things at the bar, taking your pictures at multiple places. You just always been the same, always genuine. So those things, you know, they last.
Okay. Much appreciated. And you have been nothing but a class act yourself.
So,
but I wanted to invite her back to see if she'll pop in and we can bring it to a close. I want that how we began, we end the same way. You know what I'm saying? I always end my podcast saying, if you didn't know, now you know. See you the next show. But you know, I'm waiting to see if we can get Little back in here. I sent her a request. She might be wrapping up for the bed, whatever, but Pam, you was the first person who bought the RICO Verdict, my book.
Get out.
You were my first book customer. You know what I'm saying? So all that you said, like building up to being an author, I think you watched me develop, you know, what I was doing to be what I am now. So
yeah.
It's supporters like you that, you know, who knows? We might could get some bread together, P.
Look, hey, I need to listen and keep my ears open, let you plant some seeds, because I do think that, like I said, that we met like 99, right?
Yeah.
You always had visions, always spoke about things, and, you know, I'm not even gonna lie, you know, sometimes be like, oh, okay, all right, yeah. But when you grow as a person individually, but then you also look and you see people who truly have a passion and follow their dreams and put in the work, and then see them blossom behind it, I can't even but support you and be happy for you, you know? So I always send you messages like, you know, hey, I see XYZ, I'm proud of you, I'm happy for you, you know, hey, even when I came down there to visit, you know, hey, mm-hmm. Reached out, hey, let me holler at Pog, see, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I rolled out the red carpet for y'all.
You did, and the best part about
it, I sent y'all the makeup to get beat, like, all of that.
But this is the thing, you know. It's one thing for someone to say, hey, if you ever in town or you ever coming down, you know, holler at me. And it's another thing when people say that, but they also make sure that they do the work. And you did all that, and we didn't even have an opportunity to connect. Mm-hmm. But you pointed me in all the right directions, mm-hmm. gave me the plug, like you said, hey, well, our face, when we went out, look, we was right, you know. The girl was on point. She was thorough. We had no issues, you know, even spots that you recommended. So those things right there, that's respect. I appreciate respect, but believe me, that won't happen again, you know, where come down and we don't connect. But even still, in a short period of time, you follow through. So those things I appreciate it, and especially because it's not like we talk all the time, mm-hmm. you know. So all of those things go back to, again, the person that I met in 99 that was thorough, that was genuine, and that was real, you know? So, hey, hats off to you. Like I said, anything that you do, even though, hey, we don't see and know the work that you put behind the scenes, but there's a lot of things that you have done. So even as far as people that you met, famous, non-famous, learning about this and that in the industry or whatever have you, those things pay off for you in ways that nobody else even has to understand. Mm-hmm. It's your dream, and you make your dreams a reality.
Right. For the 99 and 2000.
Yeah. So, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Like I said, you know, maybe there is something that, hey, you're planting a seed in me, and I'll be like, you know what, that works. So, or, you know, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Yes, for sure. I mean, you definitely have a podcast voice, P. And you definitely have that point of view that we're looking for. Wow. So I know everybody be busy on what they got to do, but it doesn't take much at all. My youngest daughter, Monet, she kind of like planted this, you know. She was, you know, we got off the phone, and then I went right to going live talking about the podcast coming soon. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Do you remember Monet, my baby?
That's
Tina's daughter.
Tina's daughter. Yeah, I know their faces. Yeah. I know their faces.
They was Facebook. Little. You know, they all grown.
Yes. Seeing her as a kid. Yeah. I can't remember. She probably was in the midst, because she probably was. She wasn't down on 17th Street a lot, was she?
Yeah, Marvelous. Oh, she was? Marvelous stayed on 17th, and she was like, you know, that was okay. Like her auntie.
Gotcha.
You know, so they were down there, but they was small, so yeah. I mean, they wasn't on the block like we.
Yes.
Was.
Yeah.
She was born in 95. Yeah. I mean.
Gotcha. But yeah, but just seeing the kids blossom, grow, mm-hmm. and doing their thing, that's a blessing as well. You know, I got one coming out in December. So I mean, coming out in May, graduating. Okay. So
congratulations ahead of time.
Thank you. Yeah. So, but yes, we will definitely be connecting. I won't say I'll be on all podcasts, but you know, I'll be. The eyes are watching. I got you.
I'm gonna be putting pressure on you. I'm gonna mention you like did you ever watch Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes.
That issue that him and dude. Remember how he ended each show?
Mm-mm.
The what's the dude name from Boston? He always said we didn't have enough time to, because I think he invited him, but he kind of slighted him.
Oh, okay.
Just made a joke out of it and just kept mentioning him until he actually came on the show. So, if you're not on the show, you're going to be on the intro or the exit.
Okay.
But nah, it's something that I'm going to plan it out, and, you know, it's not something that's going to be, you know, we might do it once a week, we might do it once a month, but within the next 3 days, I'm definitely going to put something in writing, because that's where a lot of my manifestations come from. Putting it to pen and then sitting there looking at it, and it manifests through meditation, through hard work, or whatever. We're going to get them 50 podcasts, and we're going to holler at iHeart or whoever. But I've got, you listen to the radio station, LFX Media Live?
I did tune in one day. Oh. Yeah. So send me, because you can send me the link, right?
You can type in the link. It's lfxmedia.live. You just type that in wherever you got a signal, and you'll go right to my website. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
www.lfxmedia.live.
And your radio station plays 24/7?
24/7.
Okay.
Monday through Friday, I do 3 p.m. to 7. I do old school rap. I do something I call the woke show, which, you know, just being woke. But it's a kind of, you know, double entendre, because the woke show is the morning show and the woke show is the evening show.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I play top 10 hits, whatever, every night at midnight. We're approaching like 20 minutes from now. It's slow jams from midnight to 6 in the morning. The morning show starts at 8. But it's laid out.
Okay. And,
you know, I don't really compare myself or, you know, to whatever. You stay focused on what you're doing, and you get what's there for you. But yeah. I speak to a lot of people that are, I'm so used to such and such radio station every morning and Saturday. So I won't mention the call letters of anybody's station.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I got you. But okay, so like I said, I'm still, Pod, you got to message me.
I will.
Message me, because I always listen to music at work. I always got my AirPods in, and that's the motivation. That's what gets me through my day. Is music.
Okay.
So I'll be real, like right now, like a DJ. So what I started doing just this week was I started listening to Audible because I'm not a big reader, right?
Yeah.
I don't take the time. Being a wife and a mother, at the end of the day is when I try to sit down and read. Well, that's not the time to sit down and read, because now I'm tired, you know?
Right.
So somebody planted a seed, and they were like, put Audible on. Even when you're in the car, just ride, listen to the book, da-da-da-da-da. You'll be surprised at how fast you know what I'm saying, you get through a book, or how you're able to really tune in. So that's what I did this week. And it was productive. I was, it worked. But I used to listen to DJ Danny D out of New York, because somebody told me about him. But now I'm gonna put you in my ear and
we got
help get my day cracking.
The way my station is set up, it has slots for 20 different DJs or 20 different podcasts. It's already set up.
Okay.
The provider that I go to, they do all the heavy lifting.
Gotcha. You know,
so
gotcha.
I can administrate and, you know, do station manager type stuff. So automation really is big in any corporation, you know. So we're gonna work smarter, not harder. But
yeah, you know, I got you.
You know, I can fill those slots up with DJs and have, you know, off the chain with it. But right now, my cousin, my partner, DJ Rob, he go live when he want to. I go live myself. I got a license to DJ 2P. Got it from Edinburgh. Shout out WFSE.
Okay.
It's exciting because it's something that we dreamed about for a long time. And we, you know, Rob actually was a DJ there in Erie. You know, he had a show, The Block Party. And most all of the events that I've done, he's been the DJ.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, I could take it back to like the 90s, you know, Chili J.
Family, yeah.
Too. He did a lot of the events that we had in State Street Tavern back in the day,
mm-hmm.
95, 96, you know, but it's set up for success.
Gotcha.
I can have simultaneously 20,000 people listen at the same time. So we may not hit that mark, but whatever we do, it's going to be great. You already know that.
Gotcha. But, you know, but the thing is, it's just sharing. So, like I said, once you put it out there, I tune in. And, you know, once people start listening, I get to listening. Oh, I spread the word. Hey, this is what I be listening to. And, you know, that's how things move. It happens.
Yeah, word of mouth. And, yeah. You know, I have a Patreon set up, too, for sponsorship. It has 3 tiers. And the first tier is just a general support, you know, you get the station, you got exclusive podcasts. So what we doing right now, if I wanted to cut it off and like, all right, go to the Patreon, we're going to finish this conversation, that's kind of how Joe Buttons and them do it.
Okay.
But the first tier is just something basic, a couple of dollars. But the mm-hmm. second tier is called Rico Sundays, which we're going to start that back up. So you took part in that as well.
Those conversations, yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to know those.
Yeah, so Rico Sunday is going to actually, it started out as a cover reveal for my mm-hmm. book, and then mm-hmm. just got into networking. So we're going to start that up. I was waiting for football season, so people won't have excuses. My team playing. Yo, team, you not getting a bag for that. You know what I'm saying? That's not your team. I'll let football season get out the way. We're going to get Rico Sundays back popping and networking. Like, we're going to have, you know, breakdowns about Wall Street, about Forex trading, about real estate, and whatever stream of income besides OnlyFans. You know?
Oh, my. Okay. But, I mean, I can't even stay on my because, again, it's a source of income for some, you know?
Oh, I ain't, you know, that was a joke. I mean, if you come on, honestly, from what I've heard about OnlyFans, it's not like so much, I mean, it's people on there that is doing other stuff besides Freaky Deaky.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
It's a platform. That's what it's famous for, but I mean, you can get on there and podcast. You know what I'm saying? But I use Patreon as my paywall source, you know, my support. And it works because Patreon, are you familiar with Amanda Seals?
Mm-hmm.
So did you watch this Issa Rae show, or is it Issa Rae?
Issa Rae.
Insecure?
Oh. Yes, Insecure. Mm-hmm.
So Amanda Seals was the one that was married and had the baby.
Okay.
That's her real name, Amanda Seals. But on the show, she was somebody else. But Amanda Seals has a podcast and a radio show that is syndicated across the country. But when you go to Patreon to set up, like, her Patreon is like the sample. Like, she's doing it right. So check out Amanda Seals. You know, she's a comedian and she used her celebrity off of Insecure. Got her some stand up and, you know, she tours around with the podcast and the comedy, you know, with a political kind of edge to it. So you get a chance, check out Amanda Seals too. But as far as the Audible, you know, I'm an author, so I know, like, you know, I'm set up to be a voice on Audible, but, well, let me take that back. I'm not set up to be a voice on Audible because my connection on Audible, they only let you use, like, one email, and I'm set up as an author and a reader. You know, so
they
won't let me be a voice. I have to use it another email. So I can set it up, but I thought it was interesting from the beginning when I had the opportunity, because when I was going out to Vegas, as an author, you had to have as many streams of income, because it's going to take you a while to really see money from that book. So being the narrator, the voice, going online and being able to take your LinkedIn or whatever information and turn it into blogs, you know, with Facebook is just a long blog for real, but why not get paid for it?
Yeah.
You know, there's several sources, but definitely. Oh, on Audible, speaking of Audible, I think one of my fellow writers, I just finished reading her book. Her name is Nikki T. Anthony. So shout out to Nikki. And the book is called The Price We Pay. And I listened to it because I was, you know, privy to it because she's one of my fellow authors. But check and see if it's on Audible. Oh. Her name is Nikki T. Anthony. And I'll text you that too. But
okay.
Thanks for coming to the pod. I'm your host, Podgy Carter. This was just the intro to the Risa Tisa Who the F Am I podcasting with. Stay tuned for episode 1 coming right up.